This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The moment has finally arrived. After years of talks, debate, and planning, and despite ongoing pushback, people started signing up for the Affordable Care Act's health insurance marketplace this week. On today's show, we want to look ahead towards January, when all residents will be required to have health insurance, and find out if area hospitals are ready for the changes. My guests today are Michael Richards, he's the Executive Director of External Affairs at Gunderson Health System, and Joan Miller, she's Executive Director of External Affairs and Government Relations for Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. Thank you so much for joining me today. At the top of the hour, we heard President Obama talk about how there's going to be snags and bumps in this initial rollout. And I know both health systems have been working pretty hard to make sure that things are running as smoothly as possible in these first initial weeks. So I want to just ask, how are things going in these first couple days that the marketplaces have actually opened? Michael?
Well, there have been glitches. There have been quite a few glitches. It's been a little bit difficult for people to get online and access the marketplace at this point in time. But everything we've tried to do is to put in place a foundation so that people are ready once those glitches are resolved. And so there's going to be a little awkward period of time until those glitches are removed.
And then is there anything that Mayo or Gunderson themselves can do to get past these glitches, or is it just sort of waiting for the website to free up a little bit? Joan?
I think it's a little bit of both. But before we go too much further, I just wanted to let you know, Maureen, that Mike and I and the county and people from throughout the 8-county area have been working collaboratively on this. And so we still are proceeding with all the planning that we need to get done in order to make it work. But I think the collective wisdom from that group is that with people hearing about the snags in getting online, that it really has dissuaded people from trying. So, you know, we've had probably about, maybe 50 or 60 hits on our website where we have information posted just as Gunderson does. And in terms of calls and walk-ins, you know, we have had just a handful of people. So we're busy right now trying to get certification for the people that will be the in-person assisters, and that's another glitch that we're all trying to work through.
And when you say 50, 60 people have gotten through, does that mean they've actually signed up through Mayo?
No. I mean, that means that they've just gone onto our website and taken a look at, you know, where we will have people to do in-person assistance.
Okay. Right.
And Michael? There are things that people can do. There's the 1-800 number they can call into. I've tried that. I've gotten through. It's a little bit difficult, I think, just to because you can't look at the plan options right in front of you. There's also an application that you can do, a paper form that people can find and print out and do that as well. So there are options. Again, the whole thing that we've been trying to tell people is this is a marathon, not a sprint. And so with the glitches, yes, they're going to be there. But once we get past that, hopefully sooner rather than later, people will be able to go online and shop around.
So maybe people should just remain patient at this point?
Yes.
I think so. You know, I think the other thing, you know, they've been reporting volumes of traffic to healthcare.gov, but I think one of the things that Mike and I know and we've heard is that, you know, there are people who are volunteering to assist, but they've actually not seen the website live. So before you sit down and help somebody, you're going to want to go out and take a look at what it looks like. So I'm fairly confident that a lot of those people are there that are not there just to sign up, but people that are going out to check to see what it looks like. So that should tamp down soon.
Yes.
And Joan, as you mentioned before, both Gunderson and Mayo, as well as the county and other community partners, have been working together to make sure that many people do get signed up. So can you talk about individually at Mayo, at Gunderson, how many people you have hired to help people sign up? How does that work? Do people just show up at each of the hospitals, and are they able to walk through the process then?
Michael?
Well, we are not hiring any extra staff. What we've had to do is, after the regulations have come out, we had to look and try to figure out how best to serve our patients that come in through our door. So we're going to have anywhere from 20 to 25 people that are going to be certified application counselors. We're waiting for CMS to give us some codes so we can take the federal test and be finalized in, through that process. What we have said throughout the in the county is we're going to have enough of our patient base who are going to come in and going to need assistance. So we don't want to necessarily say to people coming off the street, you just come on into Gunderson. They're welcome to come, but they're going to be full enough with our patient load the way it is. So I think the county understands that, and they're trying to figure out a way to put people in other areas, St. Clair Health Mission, the libraries, the county buildings, and getting out into more rural communities. So it's part of the partnership that we're trying to wade through right now and making sure we have the right people in the right places.
Joan, the same thing at Mayo?
We actually did end up hiring additional staff to do this.
So how many?
We have hired 4 new full-time folks, and so they will be stationed 5 days a week in La Crosse and on Alaska, and then they'll be working 1 or 2 days a week in Sparta and in Toma. And but I think I wanted to sort of underscore Mike's point. We are sort of estimating that it's probably going to take about an hour for an individual to apply. Mike and I are part of a group organized through the Wisconsin Hospital Association. So we're getting reports from Milwaukee and all over the state. And that's the number folks are using, is about an hour to get people signed up. So we are asking that people call and make appointments as opposed to just showing up. Because if there are a couple of people there in front of you, you could be waiting, you know, hours before you would get an opportunity to meet with someone. And then we are monitoring, as I know Mike is too, monitoring. We've got an email that people can call. We've got an email they can check out. And so we're monitoring the volumes there. And if the volumes outstrip our ability to help them, then there are other people that have been certified who aren't doing this full time, but there are other people who have been certified, and then we would use them to help. And then I think the other thing is that we actually have talked about, you know, there are people that do this as contract people, and that might be another option for us as well.
And we really try to start with a little bit of education too. So people who are coming in through our doors, if they're on Badger Care today that may be losing coverage, our front desk is handing them a sheet of paper saying, check your mail because there's some information for you. And those people who are coming in that don't have insurance today, they're getting a sheet of paper as well that says, you know, there's new changes to federal law that's going to require you to have insurance. So just trying to be as proactive. And we know that not everybody is going to go out there the first week, but we want to continue to make sure that people are aware of the resources that are available. And both of our organizations are in a very unique situation because we have multi-states and we're right on the border here. And we have 3 pretty different Medicaid programs and 3 different exchange programs as well. So it poses some issues because a lot of people will come from Iowa and Minnesota into our hospital in La Crosse and really try to navigate that for them and make sure that they have resources available for them. That's a big thing for us.
The other thing, Mike got us all together back in, was it May or April? And I think one of our founding principles was that we are dealing, there's a large part of this population that is very vulnerable. And this is a complicated law. And so our goal has been to give out information that looks very similar, whether they go to Gunderson, whether they come to us, whether they show up at Scenic Bluffs, the Salvation Army is working with them, not giving them conflicting messages. And I think that we're doing a really fine job of that here in western Wisconsin. We do hear reports from other parts of the state where their approaches have not been as coordinated, and there is misinformation being given to people. So I think that's something that this community should be proud of, is that we really are working collaboratively on this.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Joan Miller. She's the Executive Director of External Affairs and Government Relations for Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse, and Michael Richards. He's the Executive Director of External Affairs at Gunderson Health System. Today, we're talking about effects of the Affordable Care Act locally. There's been a lot of preparation to work with the vulnerable population, maybe people who are transitioning off of Badger Care, people who have never purchased health insurance in the past. Do you anticipate that these populations will be coming and needing extra assistance? And how many are you anticipating? Or do you think that many people will be able to just sign up for health care on their own?
Well, this is that's a very good question. Yes. And if you had the answer to it, I'd love to hear it. We don't know how many people are going to come through our door. We don't know how many people are going to go out and shop for insurance. We do know roughly how many people are going to lose their Badger Care coverage in our region. But we don't really know how many people are uninsured or underinsured. And so that poses a problem for us in trying to identify those people. We think that early on there's going to be a lot of confusion, because going out and shopping for health insurance can be a daunting task, especially if you've never had it before, you've never paid a copayment or a premium or understand what a deductible is. So it's going to be kind of that first year that we have to understand and put in place a foundation and build on for the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just, everyone has estimates. And so I think one of the estimates we've been using in our organization is when you look at the counties in Wisconsin that we are serving, the estimates are there are about 24,000-25,000 people who may be uninsured and may be eligible. And then I think the numbers coming off of Medicaid are around 4,500. That's a large number of people. And as Mike said, I think that if you are insurance literate and you've done this many times and you understand premiums and deductibles and copays and you can read a plan and you know what the 60-40 split is, you should be able to go online and apply and get it done in 15 minutes. But we're thinking that the vast majority of people don't fit that description. And, you know, if your situation is complicated, so maybe mom has one type of insurance and kids have another, it gets really, really complicated. So if you're a young single person who's technology savvy and knows insurance, 15 minutes and you're in and out, but we don't think that's going to be the case for most people.
If someone decides that they're going to walk through the doors of either one of your medical facilities, let's say they go into Gunderson, would they be able to sign up for insurance through Mayo at Gunderson and vice versa? Or if they go to Gunderson, if they go to Mayo, do they have to sign up for those respective health plans?
A certified application counselor, even though they may be an employee of Gunderson Health System or Mayo, they have to disclose that both of us have a conflict because we're selling insurance, so we have to tell them that right away. But we can't dissuade them away from doing that. That right. If they want to do that, they can sign up for whatever plan they feel fits them the best. So, no, we cannot steer them one way or another.
And the regional group has spent a significant amount of time, because the certified application counselors can help you enroll. They can explain the plans to you. They can explain deductibles and copays, but if someone were to turn to them and say, I don't know what to do, what plan should I pick? They can't do that. But the philosophy is that if they are there, we want a very smooth handoff. So what might be the phone numbers of independent insurance agents? What are their hours? Could you get them on the phone and have them talk this person through that? So that's a lot of the planning that's been going on. And I think Mike and I both just got yesterday the list of insurance brokers that would be available to do this. You know, the challenge is it's going to change a lot over the next right. 6 months, so keeping traffic. But those very smooth handoffs, I think, is what we know will be important, because if someone shows up and they want to do it, you want it done before they leave.
Have many people signed up through the marketplace, through either one of your plans yet in these first couple days?
I think the biggest challenge has been access to getting online. So we know of, I think Scenic Bluffs has been working on this. They reported yesterday they were able to get into the system and sign one or two people up.
Okay.
So we've got two people on the board, with thousands more to go. But it's progress, and I think it's we'll hopefully see more people, more stuff picking up as we move forward.
Is this the same at Mayo, Joan?
It is. You know, we are very fortunate because Scenic Bluffs is located very close to our hospital out there. And so they actually do have some federal dollars to provide navigators. And so they have actually come over to the hospital and helped us out over there. So that's been wonderful.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about the local effects of the Affordable Care Act. My guests are Joan Miller. She's the Executive Director of External Affairs and Government Relations for Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse, and Michael Richards. He's the Executive Director of External Affairs at Gunderson Health System. I want to look ahead to January 1st, when there will be many more people. Hopefully, the glitches will be worked out. Many more people will actually be insured. So do you anticipate that more people will actually be going to your respective hospitals and receiving health care?
Well, I think in general right now, I mean, we're seeing these people already. It just depends on what door they're coming through. So those that are on Badger Care, we obviously want to make sure those who are losing Badger Care continue to get insurance. And those people who had not qualified for Badger Care that were on the wait list, we hope that they get the Badger Care as, or the new Medicaid as well. At this point in time, I mean, we kind of know that there's going to be a need. We just don't know to what level. We feel comfortable that we can handle that level. But there's going to be probably in November, December, when we start understanding how many people are going to be out there, what that need's going to be, and where that need's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And the other wonderful thing is that we have, both systems have had some experience with this because under Governor Doyle, when we launched Badger Care, it opened up insurance for many of these people. So we have experience of what it was like when people who had not had insurance in a long time got insurance. And so I think we're going to be looking back at how that went and trying to correct the things that we wish with hindsight we would have done differently. I think that, you know, one of the things that Mike and I, both organizations, are strong proponents of is some kind of coordination of care. So people are getting the right care and they're getting it in the appropriate location. So I think that's going to be one of the challenges that's going to be facing us is, you know, how are we going to do that?
And although the numbers are sort of unknown at this point, do you anticipate that with more people seeking care potentially on a more regular basis, do you think that you'd have to hire more doctors, nurses, or staff to accompany this?
It all depends on, I guess, where the location is going to be. I mean, we feel pretty comfortable with our ability to handle more people coming into our system. But again, it's kind of that uncertain number. I mean, if we're talking 25,000 people coming in, that's one thing. If we're talking about 5,000 coming in, that's another thing. So it's and you know, we don't know what the population is that's going to buy the insurance. We know that typically the people who admit on the high risk insurance pool that are going to lose their coverage are going to be on there, but they've been getting care already. The whole healthcare marketplace is predicated on the notion that more people are going, they need more people who are 27 and healthy. Mm-hmm. So even though there are people out there that may access care, they may not need care right away. It might be just more of an insurance policy in case anything were to happen to them. So, but we really want to make sure that the those with many chronic illnesses, that, like Joan said, that we can coordinate that care, because if they don't have insurance, they're going to wait longer and longer to get care until it's too late, and then they come into the emergency room and they have more complicated issues.
Mm-hmm. It just seems that maybe if people, you know, especially younger people, if more younger people are going to be buying insurance, that maybe there would be a greater need for preventative care and seeing you know, an internal medicine doctor or something. But it's just one example.
You know, we are we are living, we, healthcare, is living in two worlds. We are living in a world, so the Affordable Care Act is really, at the core, it's reforming insurance. And it does allow people who have had pre-existing conditions to no longer be excluded from health care, and it offers subsidies so that you can you get help paying your premiums. But it's basically insurance reform. I think one of the things that all healthcare organizations are looking at is in the other world we live in, which is that they pay you for how many things you do as opposed to paying you for making someone well. We're all working in that world of trying to figure out how can we take waste out of the system. And so while we're taking waste out of the system that's already in place, we're also working in this new world with the Affordable Care Act, which is going to be bringing more people into the system. So I'm very hopeful that as we proceed on our mission of looking for waste and extraneous things that we do to respond to the cost concerns that everyone has about health care, that they may in the end come together. That's what I'm hoping for.
And I do want to get into costs in a minute, but Joan, has Mayo talked about the possibility of hiring more staff?
I think we would say the same thing that Mike has, is that you know, we are required by federal law to see anyone who shows up in our emergency room. And so if we could redirect those people to another setting for care, because they'd have insurance now and they could go and see somebody in a clinic setting, there may be a lot of shifting that is going on.
Right, and we're continuing going, and even before health care reform, we've always been trying to refine our system so that the timing from coming in the door and seeing a physician and going through that process is, we're trying to reduce that time, trying to be more lean and improve our processes. So, you know, as we're going to continue to do that throughout this, and I think that'll allow us to be able to tweak our system.
So people who have had health insurance for years, who have been going to Gunderson, have been going to Mayo for years, Franciscan Skimp in the past, but will they see any changes? Will they experience any changes once they go to the hospital after January 1st when the Affordable Care Act is in place?
No, they're going to be going about the same way that we've always done things. That's not going to change. I mean, people are still going to be able to come into Gunderson. They're going to get high quality care, and we're going to take care of them as best as we possibly can and try to meet their needs.
You know, I have a good graph that the Kaiser Family Foundation put out, and it's last year, but I think it's still pretty accurate, that, you know, we have to remember that about 50% of the people in the United States still have employer-based health care. And there is another, 13-14% that has Medicare. And so those things, we're talking about, you know, that uninsured group is about maybe 16%. So it's a very important part of the system. And I think that those of us who are in healthcare believe that it is important that everyone have insurance and access to healthcare. That's what we're all doing this for. And but it's a smaller part of the population that we're talking about.
Joan Miller is the Executive Director of External Affairs and Government Relations for Mayo Clinic Health System in La Crosse. Michael Richards is the Executive Director of External Affairs at Gunderson Health System. Today, we're talking about how local healthcare providers are preparing and handling changes that come with the Affordable Care Act. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Coming up next, our discussion on the healthcare law continues. We'll be talking about how the Affordable Care Act will affect costs. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, photos, and links to information on the Affordable Care Act can be found on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.